John's Gospel, the third chapter. I ain't gonna take long, I can promise you that, because I wanna do something in this atmosphere and I don't wanna lose you through me trying to wax eloquent to you. John's Gospel, the third chapter, you're coming into a conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and he asks them a question. He says, Lord, I need to understand a few things. First of all, nobody can do the things that you're doing without God being with you. Jesus responds to Nicodemus and says, you're right. You can only be born of heaven. You can only be born from above to receive what I'm doing. Nicodemus says, I don't understand. How can somebody crawl back into their mother's womb and be born again? Jesus says, oh, Lord, have mercy. Nicodemus, please. He says, you don't get what I'm talking about? You're a master teacher, Nicodemus, and you don't understand that I'm talking about embracing something that's beyond yourself? Nicodemus, in other words, you're holding on to something good, but you won't let it go to go get something great. Three times he tries to convey this message to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus still doesn't understand. And then the conversation all of a sudden takes an abrupt switch to John's disciples. And John's disciples comes to John and says, hey, that guy you baptized is now baptizing people. Hey, John, you got some competition. That guy that you baptized in the water, his church is blowing up. And the disciples are shook. John's disciples are shook. And John is sitting there going, this makes my joy full. And so the text is where we pick this up, and it says in verse 22, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Bible says, then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, hey, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said to you, I am not the Christ. This is John speaking. But I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. In other words, I'm not the best. I'm not the person getting married in this thing. John is trying to say, I'm not the one at the altar. I'm the best man. He's basically saying Jesus is the one at the altar. He is the bridegroom, but the friend, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I'm just in the wedding. The reason why that makes me happy is because I don't have to take the vows, but I can still enjoy the wedding. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Yeah. If he marries the church, if he does it, then I don't have to go through all of that experience, but I can still enjoy the party. He says, I'm just the one who stands and hears him, and I rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Verse 30, here we go. And then he says these words to his disciples, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. I want to preach to you from the subject. God, thank you for being late. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes the come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. So, Father, speak a word to us in these few moments, a word that will cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, a word that will transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing is that you have your way in this place. Do what only you can do. This is your house. And we are your people. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for what you're going to do, what you have done, and for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise real quick. I don't have time to tell you, turn to your neighbor, so go ahead and sit down. I would tell you, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. I want to get this word down into your spirit. God, thank you for being late. There's an old quote that says, time flies like an arrow. Time flies like an arrow. And when you begin to think about that, you begin to ask yourself, how can time fly? The reason why you can begin to ask yourself that time flies is because any of you who have lived long enough can experience, if you will, this idea of where the time went. My daughter is about to take her permit test, and she about to start driving, and I got to prepare my heart, my mind, my insurance, my money, and everything else for her to start driving around in this world. And she looking at me yesterday talking about it as I was taking her to the airport. She's going to the airport, and I said, well, you want me to walk you through security? And she looked at me like I was crazy. She said, Daddy, I got this. I can do this all by myself. I said, well, you know where to go, so forth and so on. She looked at me and said, please. And I said to myself, where did the time go? Here I am watching my little girl go off, and now I'm imagining her going off to college and going off to life and going off to all these other things. And it was just a few moments ago where I was braiding her hair. I know y'all didn't know Pastor could braid hair, but you know, I didn't say I was good at it, but I did do it. And I was braiding her hair and taking her to Disney and taking her to, all of her favorite little stores and things she liked to do. And she just was fixated with the Disney Channel. And then she became a tween and started getting fixated with clothes and makeup and all that other stuff. And now she got to go to the Mac store and got to get her nails done and her hair done. And y'all ain't in here with me. And now she like red bottoms. And now she like all this other stuff. And now all of a sudden I'm saying to myself, where in the world did the time go? And I'm looking at my baby grow up, and she's going into the airport all by herself, knows where she's going, ain't looked back, ain't said no, shed no tear, ain't. See, some of y'all who got daughters know what I'm talking about. Young, if you're a father, you understand what I'm talking about. She ain't shed no tears. She not shook. I'm the only one. I said, look, text me when you get through security. She said, all right. I said, all right, then text me when you get to the gate. All right, then text me when you board the plane. Then text me when you take off. Then text me when you land. Then text me when you get to your mama. And she looked at me. She said, Dad, you don't trust me. You don't think I'm okay. You don't think I make good decisions. I said, baby, it ain't got nothing to do with you. And it's got everything to do with me. The reason why I'm asking you to text me and the reason why I'm asking you to let me know that you're okay is because it's not your problem. It's my problem. I'm having a problem understanding where the time went. And my daughter turned back and looked at me. She said, the time went to me. She said, you put in the time to instill in me everything that I need to do what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, somebody's get what I'm saying. Slap your neighbor a high five and says, God got your time, baby. God got your time. God has spent a lot of time pouring into you, just like I spent a lot of time pouring into my children. As a matter of fact, my children disrupted my entire life. That's what children are supposed to do. Parenting 101 means that you now no longer have a life. I'm going to speak to this in this atmosphere because I'm going to help somebody out. I'm sorry, you had them, so now you got to parent them. So I had to let go a lot of stuff, and I had to let go a lot of opportunities so that my children would have opportunities. I was there for them all the time, and I made sure that my professional job was going to be their chauffeur. Y'all ain't said nothing. And to make sure they got to where they needed to be. And as I started to think about time, my son had called me that afternoon, and we started talking, and he's talking about where he's going for spring break and what he's doing and where he happening. And I said to myself, I said, you ain't even called me to ask me permission to where... Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You didn't call me to ask me no permission where you could go. And I'm about to form my lips to say those words. And then it hit me in my psyche. He grown. He can. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He grown. He can do what he want to do. Go where he want to go. Come when he want to come. But in my mind, it's just my boy. You got to hear what I'm saying to you. And he's making his decisions and moving. And my daughter's moving and doing. She went online and got her own, made her own appointment to take her own test and do all this other stuff. And I'm looking at her feeling some type of way about the whole scenario, and I'm listening to my son feeling some type of way about what he's doing, and then it dawned on me that I gave them the time that was necessary for them to step into their own purpose and be who God called them to be. So they're just receiving what I gave them. Wouldn't it be interesting if you treated God the same way and started walking in what God poured into your life and started receiving what God gave you? Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Look at your neighbor and say, why are you asking for it? He already gave it to you. When you come into a place of spiritual maturity, you really stop asking God for stuff he already gave you. Crickets. Some of y'all are wasting valuable time, and time is flying like an arrow because you keep asking God for stuff he already gave you. He already gave you peace. He already gave you joy. He already gave you power. I don't have no help in here. Look at your name and say, I already got it. I already got it. Oh, I got some work to do. I got some work to do. You have to understand there's certain things you already got. They were table stakes when you gave your life to the Lord. When you confessed him as your Lord and Savior, some stuff you already got. The Bible says that he gave power to those that believe that to become the sons of God. And they have the power to walk upon, tread upon scorpions and serpents. And he's giving you power over all the power of the enemy. Look at your neighbor and say, I already got power. I already got power. That's why Paul said, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask a thing, according to the power that works on the inside of you. When the scripture says, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy, it's saying that I've given you exousia, authority over all the power, dunamis, of the enemy. The enemy might have some ability to do a thing, but you got authority over his ability. That means whenever he does something, you can stand in your spiritual authority and say, no weapon formed against me shall be able. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Look at your name and say, you got power already. I'm going to keep saying it until it gets down in your spirit. And I'm going to keep saying it until I lose my voice for you to get it. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, no, you got power already. There's no need for you to be praying for something that you already possess. You already have power. You already have resources. You already have peace that transcends all understanding, that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You already have the capacity to get in touch with God whenever you want to get in touch with God, not just through your prayer, but also through your praise. For the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Look at your name and say, you already got it. Come on here. You already got it. I'm not going to let you sit on it if you try, because what the enemy wants to do is convince you that you don't have something and cause you to waste valuable time trying to ask for something you already have. It's like going home and asking if you can go in your own refrigerator. It's your food. Can I tell you that you already have it? And can I tell you the reason why you don't possess it is because you've yet to receive it? And you're saying, well, Pastor, I want to receive it. You can't receive it until you receive it with new eyes. You can't receive it until you receive it with a fresh perspective. This is why Nicodemus could not receive what God was trying to tell him. The Lord was trying to tell Nicodemus, if you want to operate in the kingdom, you must be born again. Look at your neighbor and say, born again, born again, born again. When you and I hear born again, we hear at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. When we hear born again, we hear the confession of our sin. When we hear born again, we hear coming down to the altar to ask for repentance. But that's not what that scripture is talking about. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, look here, if you want to operate in the kingdom of God and you want to do what heaven does, you got to see how heaven operates. And the only way you can see how heaven operates is if you do it through me. In other words, I'm the only person, Nicodemus, that have seen how heaven operates and have now come into the earth to show the earth how heaven operates. And so, Nicodemus, I am a bridge between heaven and earth. I am a bridge between eternity and time. I am a bridge between what God said and it showing up in your life. Nicodemus says, I don't get it. I don't understand it. How in the world can you be born again? He said, do I have to go back into my mama's belly? And Jesus, I wasn't there, but it sounds like it's intimated in the text that he probably had a little chuckle. And he said to Nicodemus, my God, how can you be a master teacher and you don't understand this little bit of stuff I'm trying to show you? In other words, Jesus was saying, the stuff you've saw to this point is small compared to what heaven is really like. I've just done it on a small scale. If I loose my whole Holy Ghost on this thing, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'll set it off up in here, Nicodemus. And that's the conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. But Nicodemus don't understand it. Just like you're looking at me right now like I got five heads trying to understand what I'm weaving together. And I just told you to this point, what God has done in your life has been done on a small scale because you've yet to receive everything he wants to do in your life. There is much more for you that has not been appropriated yet. Your resources are not slim. They are large and great. Here's the problem. Why are you looking at me like I got five heads? I thank you, Holy Ghost. Here's the problem. The Bible says the Lord gives you the power to get wealth. I'm not talking about money right now. He gives you the power to get wealth. In other words, he's empowered you to be able to do a certain thing, but you don't want that power. You would rather preserve what you have. It was Moses who came and told the Israelites that God gave you the power to get wealth, but instead of you going to get wealth, you're trying to preserve riches. Riches and wealth are two different things, and you're trying to preserve what God gave you when he has a whole lot more in store for you, and you're unwilling to let go what he gave you so that you can go get what he got for you. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So you're holding on to something good so that you won't go get something great, because something good is comfortable. You know what that looks like. You know what that is. You know how that operates. And God is saying, I need you to let that go, and I need you to trust me so I can take you to something deeper, so I can take you to something more powerful, so I can take you to something more useful, but yet you're comfortable. So Jesus uses a story and a narrative to bring or to jolt Nicodemus out of his comfort so that time won't fly like an arrow. I'm going somewhere with this thing. I ain't got a lot of time to do it. And he says to enter into it, you got to be born again. And so in Nicodemus' mind, the first thing that comes to his mind is that I got to crawl back into my mother's womb to experience the kingdom. I don't think so. First of all, I'm too big and she too old. Y'all ain't said nothing. It can't happen. In his mind, watch me now, in his memory bank, the first thing he goes to is the pain of what he came out of. Oh God, maybe I got to slow down and teach it to you. And he says, I got to be born again. I got to go through that again. I got to experience that pain and trauma again. I don't know about you, but if you ain't never seen a baby being born, it ain't pretty. Nobody is having fun. The mother is not having fun. The doctor is not having fun. The daddy is certainly not having fun because he about to pass out because he don't want to even be in the room in the first place. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And she crushing his hand and she's not having a good time. He ain't having a good time. The baby's not having a good time because the baby is saying, okay, it's time for me to come up out of this piece, but I'm too afraid to come out and you're contracting on me. Isn't it amazing that when something has to be birthed, something has to be contracted? Isn't it amazing that when God is birthing something in you, the pressure is forcing you out of your comfort zone? Oh, who am I talking to in here? Oh, God. And the pressure of life is just pushing on you and pushing on you. And they're telling the mother to push. If the baby had the vocal cords developed and could talk, the baby would say, stop. The baby would say, stop pushing. The doctor is saying, push. And the woman is saying, I can't. And she's ugly. Husbands, don't tell her that when she's in the room, okay? It's not pretty. She's sweaty. Huh? The whole room is being wrecked by something beautiful. I'm preaching, brother y'all. So Nicodemus is saying, I gotta go through that trauma again? No. I don't wanna be pushed on. I don't wanna be pushed out. I don't wanna experience that. I don't wanna have to go through that. I don't wanna have to deal with that again. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, son, you don't get what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not telling you to operate in the kingdom. You gotta keep going through trauma. I'm just saying you gotta keep being born again. Now, God, in other words, Nicodemus was bound by his reference of time, but Jesus was speaking in tenses. Slap your name and say tenses, tenses. T-E-N-S-E-S, so that you don't tweet tense or something. Tenses, as in past tense, present tense, future tense. When Jesus made the statement, he didn't make it in past, present, or future tense. He made it in perfect tense. Oh, I gotta preach this thing. So he said, I know you don't understand. So he said, you got to be born again. And that phrase, born again, is encapsulated and captured in the Greek language in the, watch me now, perfect tense. In other words, it's not just the future, and it's not just the present, and it's not just the past. It's all three of those combined, folded in on themselves, working together with one accord. Your past, your present, and your future becoming perfect. I'm gonna teach it because you don't understand it. Your past, your present, and your future becoming perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, I was born again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in that moment of confession, you entered into a bridge, my God, through the name of Jesus, that all of a sudden caused everything that you were supposed to go through and everything that you were supposed to endure and everything that you did go through and everything that you did endure and everything you will go through and everything that you will endure to all be collapsed in one episode when you said, become my Lord. And he stepped into your life and started looking at it past, present, and future and started saying, I'm going to start making all things work together for their good. I'm going to start rearranging some stuff. They tried to break them back here, so I'm going to go back and fix that so that when they get here, I'm going to heal that so that when they get down the road, I'm going to touch. Oh, I ain't got no church in here, because if I just found out that God is sitting there orchestrating and working on my past, my present, and my future all at the same time, I would lose my mind. Slap your neighbor high five and say, he's working on it all. He's working on it all. I gotta hurry up and get to where I need to go. And so while we're sitting there talking about time flies, we're using the wrong tense. The reason why we're saying time flies is because we can only see it in past tense. You don't hear what I'm saying. So you're experiencing this moment. And for you, some of you, it's just that, a moment. But for others, it's a memory. Some of you just came to church because you wanted to come, but for some of you, God's going to touch you and you're going to experience him in such a profound way that it's going to create a memory. And when it creates a memory, it's the memory, my God, that travels throughout past, present, and future, regardless of what's going on in your life. This is why Jeremiah said, when I was going through, I had to recall to my mind so that I could have some hope that it was because of the Lord's mercies I am not consumed. Look at your name and say, I got some good memories for what God has done in my life. The old saints used to say it this way, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, I don't have no church to preach to. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul, not my spirit, I can't get help. My mind, my will, and emotions get arrested by the memory of what the Lord has done, past tense. So I get excited where I am and optimistic about my future because of something he did, past tense. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here. So the memory that I now have, it's now the platform to get over my misery. I am preaching way better, y'all shout. Touch your name and say, I got a memory. And if I got a memory, now I have something already structured within me to get over my misery. Oh, y'all act like God ain't done nothing for you. Oh, look at your name and say, if I start trying to tell you what God has done for me, I would be here all day. So now I can take my memory, first point, my memory to get over my misery. My misery is not primarily in my past because God really has brought me a mighty long way. The reason I have a misery is because I'm now in my present. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. And it's in my present that I get frustrated because in my present, I feel like I should be further down the road than which I am in my present. Am I talking to anybody in here? I got to hurry up and get us to where we need to go. And so that's why the text just switches and jumps to a conversation with the disciples abruptly all of a sudden. It doesn't give us or wrap up the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. All of a sudden, it just shifts to a conversation with John and his disciples. And it begins to tell us that John is with his disciples and Jesus leaves and comes down there where he is. And they're concerned because he's baptizing folk too. And everybody's being drawn to him. And John enters into the scene because now God has given us a different perspective on this thing called time. Nicodemus is worried about going into his past, but John is being full of joy in his present because he knows what the future looks like. If he would just decrease, God would increase. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting in here. So John is not shook by the moment of his present, and he's doing what God has called him to do. And he looks at his disciples and says, didn't I tell you I am not the Christ, that I'm just the forerunner of who is to come? Didn't I tell you these things will happen? And he says, in this my joy is full because now I can decrease so that the Lord might increase. Now, I know you're looking at me and you're saying, Pastor, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to me in the moment? Well, John is not misery and miserable in his present because he understands that he has a memory. You don't hear what I'm saying. He's got a memory that's deeper than any of you understand. I gotta get this where I wanted to be because I ain't gonna let you sit on it. His memory is so deep, it was before he even got here. If you stay with me, you're going to get blessed. John has a memory of being in his mother's womb. And Elizabeth was pregnant 6 months before Mary was. And Elizabeth was a little bit concerned about what God gave her because the baby ain't moved yet. John didn't move until Mary showed up pregnant with Jesus. And when Jesus stepped in the room in Mary's womb, John leaped in Elizabeth's womb. Oh God, I am preaching way better than y'all are shouting in here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got a memory, baby. And it's deeper than you think. You think the memory is what God brought you out of. No, baby, the memory is deeper than that. The memory is not what God brought me out of. It's what God brought me into. I shouldn't even be in the earth. I wish I had somebody to talk to. Hey, y'all go get me another microphone. Go get me another microphone. Because y'all trying to sit on it, but it's all right. Some of you shouldn't even be here. I can feel the tension in the spirit. It's not your tension. I'm just trying to tell you I can feel the tension in the spirit. It's not you. It's just the atmosphere. Because the enemy don't want you to hear this. He don't want you to hear this. Elizabeth was late. She was getting concerned. There was a baby in there, and it hadn't moved. And there is nothing more troubling to a mother who is expecting to not feel your baby move. Some of you are full, God, and are at 9 months of your dream and your destiny and your purpose, but you ain't felt it move. And you're getting frustrated with that present moment. And you're not relying on the memory, so now you're giving in to the misery. And when you give in to the misery, you can't have the miracle that God has in store for your life. Because you'll start trying, watch me now, to push the time up. And you'll start trying to, watch me now, you'll start trying to induce your labor. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. You'll start trying to induce your labor before the time. And so because somebody gave you a due date that was in the earth, you started to believe that due date rather than what God has promised you. So you start letting them not dope you up with something. Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting it. You're letting preachers and prophets dope you up with an intoxicated word to tell you it's your time when God is saying, no, not yet. Jesus ain't entered into the room. Am I talking to somebody? You want it so bad, you'll run anywhere to somebody that'll tell you this thing is going to be birthed out. And then they promise you, you ain't going to have no pain in the birth. I've never seen a person give birth that didn't go through some pain. I wish I had some. The baby is in pain. The mama is in pain. The daddy is in pain. John is pulling on a memory that's deeper than anybody thinks. And he says in the text, in this my joy is full, because I remember when I wasn't moving. Oh, I ain't got no church in here. I remember when I felt dead in the womb. Oh, and everybody thought I wasn't gonna come out. And I remember when Jesus came into the room, when he was just in seed form. Oh, God, I feel like preaching here. I leaped in my mother's womb. Go get my other one. Go get my other one. I leaped in my mother's womb. I leaped in my mother's womb. John has that memory. And this my joy is full. You don't hear what I'm saying. And so when the disciples are tripping and being upset about the timing and in its present moment that more people are being drawn to Jesus than to John, Jesus says, it is good that I decrease, so that he might increase. My whole life got started by him entering into the room. Now I'm at another place in my life and I need him to come back in that room again. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting in here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, Jesus is about to come in the room. You don't hear what I'm saying. When Jesus comes into the room, dead things come back to life again. When Jesus comes into the room, oh God, stuff gets healed. When Jesus comes back into the room, things fall into order. When Jesus comes back into the room, slap your neighbor a high five and say, Jesus is about to come back into the room, baby. My God, and whatever you're carrying around in your mind and in your heart is about to leap in the spirit. You thought you were out of time and you thought you were out of options, but that thing is about to leap. Basically, John was saying, thank you for being late. I'm going to close this thing out because I can feel it in here. He was saying, thank you for being late. Thank you for not showing up when you were supposed to. Elizabeth sitting there worried and concerned. John is in his mother's womb before you were formed. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you. Oh, God. Before the thing got formed, I purposed it before it got here. So you better believe it's going to show up when I say it's going to show up. You're frustrated in this present moment. That's perfect. You're frustrated in this present moment because of some problem. And you don't understand God is setting you up for a miracle. I need somebody in this church to understand God is setting you up for a miracle. And while you're sitting there looking at me like I got five heads, slap somebody a high five and say, God is setting me up for a miracle. It's just like God to be slow. He's so fast, he's slow. And you're asking God, God, how long do I got to endure this misery? And God is saying, I have already done it outside of the scope of time because I'm eternal. And so I did not give you time to imprison you. I gave you time, my God, so that the promises of God won't escape you. I disrupted eternity and to encapsulate you so that you would have time, not lose time. Oh, touch somebody and say, I got time. Come on here. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting in here. Somebody feel like you're losing time and you feel like the opportunities are slipping between your fingers. I'm here to tell you that you're not losing time, you're gaining time. Because it takes one miracle, one touch from God. It takes one encounter, one phone call, one meeting. Just one. I'm getting ahead of myself in my preach. But you could be going through for years and just one touch from Jesus will reverse all of the time and pain that you had to endure over those years. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, one touch will do it. One touch, one touch, one touch. That's why Malachi said that the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. It only takes one blessing to undo everything that the enemy tried to do in your life. I hear the Lord say, I will restore the year. Don't turn me off. Okay.
There we go. God bless my voice.
I will restore the years. He didn't say 8 years.
I will restore the years. I'll bring your past up to your present and I'll pull your future right into where you are. I will restore the years.
I restore the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm have eaten. They're all the same worm at different stages. So I've been being punished by the same thing in different stages of my life.
It's the same issue that's been plaguing my past, and the same issue that's plaguing my present, and the same issue that's waiting in my future. But God said when Jesus steps into the room, he has the power to restore the years. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you're getting years back. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You're getting years back. Forever how long you was sick, you're about to get years back. Forever how long you was down, you're about to get years back. Forever how long you was incarcerated, you're about to get years back. Forever how long you were addicted, you're about to get years back.
Hey! You're about to walk into a miracle. A miracle that God, listen to me. A miracle is a process that's been sped up. You don't hear me. Y'all hear this stuff and y'all go, okay, that sounds great. It sounds great. It's cool. But some people really need it. You've been thinking in time, not in tenses. A tense is a grammatical term that conveys time. It's the tense you use that determines the timing of a thing. Oh, God. If I was speaking in English and have to tell somebody I could not make something, I would have to give them the reason as to why I could not be there. So I would have to say in our language that I can't make your party because I have an event that I have to go through that conflicts with the schedule. And I would have to give you all that verbiage. If I said it in Mandarin, I would not have to give you any explanation. In Mandarin, it would say, I go to event. The Mandarin omits the tense. So what Mandarin does, if I use that language, it takes out the words, I can't. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Pastor, I don't speak Mandarin. Do you speak kingdom? Because when I talk in kingdom language, I talk like it's already done. The God kinds of faith. Call those things that be not as though they are. I am preaching way better than y'all. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I speak kingdom, baby. And in the kingdom, I talk like it's already done. And so if God said there's a miracle waiting for me, it's already done. So I got to start acting like and walking like and talking like and praising like it's already done. I wish you would praise him like it's already done. I wish you would give him glory like it's already done. I wish you would lift up his name like it's already done. Somebody shout like it's already done. Somebody dance like it's already done. Somebody give him glory like it's already done. It's already done. I just got to decrease so he can distribute. One translation says, I wrote it down. One translation says, I got to get out the way so he can enter into the scene. I got to get out the way. John, from his early beginnings, before he even came out,
knew that if it wasn't for Jesus, he probably wouldn't even exist. In his mother's womb, when he was seemingly dead, just Jesus entering into the room, not even in the earth yet, just in his mama's womb, John leaped. Oh, God, Jesus, Jesus. The heaviness in this room tells me that the enemy has been defeating you with time. The enemy will always offer you time. Jesus was taken to the wilderness by the Spirit for 40 days, after 40 days of fasting and prayer. And he goes to the wilderness after that 40 day of fasting and prayer to be tempted of the devil. And three times the devil offered him time. Said, he says, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. Jesus was hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Speed up the process. Speed up the process. He takes them up to a high pinnacle, says, bow before me, and I will give you all of what you see. And then Jesus rebuked him. He said, watch me now, get behind me. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. You're trying to get out in front of me, but you got to get behind me, Satan. You're offering something that I already have. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Oh, somebody say, get thee behind me, Satan. You've been trying to run out in front of me to show me what God already promised. I'll go through the process to get it because there's a miracle waiting for me. It's a setup. And if I allow the enemy to run ahead of me, to offer me it faster, I'll miss the miracle. And the miracle is a process that's been sped up. So the enemy wants to get to your miracle before you do and give it to you without going through the pain so that God don't get the glory. But the devil is a liar. Slap somebody a high five and say, I'll go through what I gotta go through. I'll deal with what I gotta deal with so that God can get the glory. Because unless Jesus be lifted up, he cannot draw all men. The miracle won't matter if somebody don't come to know him through it. That's the purpose of the miracle. Don't let the enemy try to speed things up for you. Don't let the enemy convince you that time flies. Time don't fly. Time does what you tell it to do. You gave time wings with your words. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I probably took too long. I'm sure I did. There's some people in this room. There's some people watching this right now. And you feel like you don't have time. If I just had more time. You've gone through some misery. I was telling the church this morning for 5 years, 5 years, I was wrestling with what God was calling me to do. Nothing was bad. Everything was good. And that was the problem.
everything was good. And God was pulling on me and tugging me, saying, go after this, go do that, go to. And I'm going, God, really? And a lot of my responses were, I don't have that type of time. Because in my brain, I'm calculating the amount of time it's going to take to do what he's asking me to do. And I'm saying, God, I don't have that long. You're asking me to build something that it takes people 60 years to build. And I don't have that type of time. It's not possible. And he wasn't telling me to build it so it can be passed to another generation. He wasn't saying, I'm good with that. You tell me to get the foundation going and then pass it off? Yep, I'm good with that. I will retire and play golf. I can tell you that right now. Got no problem with that. Y'all gotta play something. I can't hear it. And I almost sat in my comfort. Oh God, you gotta hear what I'm saying. I almost sat in my comfort and settled for something good when God was calling me to something great. So I was just in my church hiding. Said, God, I'll pass to these people, I love on them. But don't send me to the world. I don't have that type of time. And I'm giving them every reason. It took this person that many years, and it took this person that many years, and that person that, and that person that, and they got it. And so the Lord just sat there and waited out my stupid. He did it to Israel. 40 years he waited out there stupid, going, y'all be stupid all y'all want to. I got eternity. You got time. A day is like 1,000 years to me. So 40 years is an hour. 15 minutes, y'all been out there wondering for 40 years. It's a few minutes to me, because time don't mean nothing to God. So he'll sit there and just wait out your stupid. Let you wander when he built you to wonder. How long are you going to wander wrestling with your past, worried about your future, froze in your present? How long are you going to let the memories escape you of what God has already done and gives you that experience to trust him for where you are and for where you're going? We preach and say, just let go of your past. Not completely. I just messed you up. Don't let it go completely. Remember what you was like before Jesus. I get it. I understand the let go of the past bit. But let God heal your past. It's more powerful than just letting it go. Let him heal it. Let him redeem the time. Restore the years. Recover what you lost. I'm going to do an altar call right now because I feel led to do it. You can sit there and look at me like you haven't been impacted or affected, or you can say, God, he was talking right to me. Doesn't matter how old you are, we all struggle with it. You know that you have wrestled with this notion of what God wants to do in your life, do through you. You tried to put it on the back burner. You tried to run away from it. You told God, use anybody but me, Lord.
God is saying to you, before you were formed in the womb of your mother, I knew you. And I called you. I called you. And God is saying to you, I'm not late. I'm not late. I'm right on time. I'm so on time, you got to thank me for being late. Let the altar fill up. Don't hold nobody back. I don't care how many come down. Let it fill up. I had this struggle for so many years until the Lord set me free from it. Set me free. I mean, literally, set me free. So regardless of what the Lord tells me to do now, I'm not worried about how much time it's going to take. Your one phone call, one interview, one email, one text, one touch away. Away. One opportunity can change your life forever. Just one. You don't need 20. Just one. The idea is to be ready when it comes. And if you're so busy lamenting over your past and worried about your present, when that miracle shows up, you'll miss it. You'll miss the miracle. You'll miss the suddenly. You'll miss it. You'll miss it. I don't want you to miss it. Some of you are carrying around deep trauma from your past. You've been trying to let it go. I'm saying don't let it go, just let God heal it. Let God heal it and use it as a platform to show forth His glory. It should be an indicator to you that God's hand is really on you, because what happened to you should have really killed you, should have really took you out. You shouldn't even be here right now. You shouldn't even be at this altar. So don't walk around ashamed of it. Don't walk around bothered by it. Be thankful and grateful that it didn't take you out. And you can lift your voice and say, God, thank you for being late. In my crazy years, in my messed up years, you kept me. When I was out here wandering the streets, you kept me. You kept me. You kept me. You kept me. Some of you are being plagued by the same problem. It plagued your mother. It plagued your grandmother. Now it's plaguing you. That depression has run through your family, and now it's trickling down into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit. You can break that thing right now in the name of Jesus. The buck can stop with you. I'm talking to somebody in this room. I want to deal with real issues. I want to deal with real stuff. We come to church and we don't deal with nothing. I want to deal with it right now. Right now. Right now. Some of you had dreams and hopes that you thought were dead. It's just that Jesus hasn't entered into the room yet. It's not dead, it's sleeping. I'm going to say that again. It's not dead, it's sleeping. God is a God of timing, not of time, timing. And He sets things in appointment and order. If it would have showed up when you wanted to show up, you'd have messed it up. You'd have messed it up. So God, thank you for being late. Thank you for showing up when you did show up. Had you gave it to me back then, I'd have wrecked it, I'd have ruined it. Thank you for being late. You're at this altar, and I am going to give you a charge to begin to call on the name of Jesus. The reason why I'm asking you to do that is because that name is a bridge between heaven and earth. The Bible says He was given a name above every name that is named. When you call on the name of Jesus, when you call on the name of Jesus, demons tremble. When you call on the name of Jesus, the earth shakes. When you call on the name of Jesus, there's power in that name. So if you're at this altar, I want you to lift your hands and I want you to begin just from the fruit of your lips to just call on the name of Jesus. Because every time you call on him, something happens right where you are. And let that name break everything. Let that name destroy everything that's been trying to disrupt what God is doing in your life. Let that name bring into focus your past, your present, and your future. Let that name be lifted up in this place. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come on, from the fruit of your lips. 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 Begin to call on the name of Jesus. Come on, from the fruit of your lips. Begin to call on the name of Jesus. From the fruit of your lips. Begin to call on the name of Jesus. Dead things are coming to life again. You're being healed in your body. Your dream is coming to life. Your purpose is taking shape and form. Depression is leaving you. Defeat is leaving you. Doubt is leaving you. Fear is leaving you. Begin to call on that name. Come on, begin to call on that name. Begin to call on that name. Begin to call on that name. Come on, come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Call on him. Call on him. Call on him. Come on, call Jesus. Chains are falling. Say Jesus. Bonds are breaking. Call Jesus. Call Jesus. Call him. Call him. Tremble in the name of Jesus. 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 Come on, right where you are, right where you are, right where you are. Let the power of that name
run out to you.
Something's happening. Something's happening. Something's happening. Something's happening. I don't care nothing about no time right now. I'm telling you something's happening. I'm telling you something's happening. Come on, right where you are, if you're watching online, begin to call on the name of Jesus. 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 There's salvation in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There's healing in that name. There's freedom in that name. There's peace in that name. There's power 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 in the name of Jesus.
There's power in the name. Power to break every curse. Power to break every disease. Power to break.
Time will no longer be your enemy, but time is about to become your ally. And whenever you feel like you're losing time again, call on the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm trying to stop a Holy Ghost breakout from happening, but I just feel the Lord in here. I just feel the Lord in here. I just feel the Lord in here. I'm telling you, something is breaking in this atmosphere. If you're sitting there still watching us and you've been having a difficult time, just lift your hands right where you are, and I'm telling you, something is breaking over your life, because God gave us power in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice, 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 lift your voice.
We cry out, Jesus,
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 If you need to leave, leave. But I'm going to stay here and minister to these people. I'm going to stay here and minister to these people. God bless you. Keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. Give you peace. Surround you with his favor as with a shield. I want to minister to these people. Time is no longer going to be your enemy. Minister Gertrude, what God started in your house, he's about to finish in your house. What God already started, he's about to finish. Get ready for a suddenly with your son. Get ready for a suddenly with your son. See, they ain't your peas. If they was your peas, you'd be shouting. Get ready for a suddenly with your son. If you got a son at home that's going through, get ready for a suddenly. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Get ready for a suddenly with your child. If you got a child that's sick, if you got a child that's incarcerated, if you got a child that's bound, get ready for a suddenly.
Power in the name.
There is power in the name.